Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin, John. Lindsay is going to successfully book the Dalai Lama on the Mason and Ireland show. On the other side of the show, she'll just miss out. Call it in the air.
Lindsay's been delivering on some people I never thought she should get. I'm going heads.
We're getting a Dalai Lama.
Hello, Dolly. All right, Ireland, it's to you.
Fast Track.
I'll actually pay you if you greet the Dalai Lama by saying hello, Dolly. I think that would be good.
That's like the cheesiest thing ever.
Yeah, but it would work. You could get away with it. All right, guys. Last week, a video emerged of Brett Favre dyeing his hair orange during the quarantine. No reason. He was just bored. Let's say you have to dye your hair a color, but it can't be a traditional color. It can't be black or brown or gray. It has to be something like blue, green, purple, orange, red. What color are you going with and why? Mace, what color is your hair if you accept this challenge?
I am going 100% blue.
Why?
It is my favorite color. It also corresponds in my hippy-dippy way with my voice chakra, which is blue, which is what I use for my talking and my speaking and my thinking. So I am going blue.
You know what's so funny about that? I'm going red, and it has nothing to do, and it sounds like yours doesn't either. It has nothing to do with politics, but look where we both
ended up. Oh, that is so weird. Mine had nothing to do with politics at all.
Mine either. The reason I would go red is that there are people that have red hair. There are gingers out there that have red hair. If you go orange or purple or blue or green, like, have you ever seen when an old guy tries to dye his hair and he doesn't get the right haircut? He's trying to deal with a gray hair issue and he doesn't get the color right and it just looks blue.
Yep.
I'd be afraid of that. Like, you'd have to go hard blue. And green suggests that you might be sick or have some type of a mold issue. And plus, green means Celtics.
Yes.
So I'm out. Purple would be okay. Purple, I could say, you know, I could say I dyed it Laker purple.
Yep.
But red would be the way I would go. Funch, how about you?
I think I'd go blonde, like Dennis Rodman and Kyle Kuzma.
But I think that you may be guilty of going with a traditional color.
That's what I was
going
to ask you. Is blonde a traditional color?
Yeah, I should have included that in the traditional
colors.
You could
say yellow. Like bright yellow.
Yeah, you could go bright yellow.
Okay, I can go bright yellow. Yeah, I can go bright yellow like Rodman and Kuzma.
Yeah, okay, Lindsay, how about you? What are you doing?
Well, I don't think there's a single color over the past 2 years that my hair hasn't been. It's red now, but before that it was teal, like green.
Right, how do you decide each time?
I don't know. It started with me wanting my hair purple, and then after it was purple, I decided to go blue, and then after blue, I wanted to do green. And then red, and then pink. It's been every color except for, like, pastel purple. That's what I want so bad, but I can't do it because my hair would just, for it to have to get light enough, it would, like, fall out.
Right.
So I would do, like, bright orange. That's another color I haven't done.
Let me throw this out there if you're older. I have a friend of mine who's older, and she's a big Laker fan, her and her husband. I've known her for a long time. And she dyes her hair all these crazy colors. And not necessarily all of it. Like, she'll put some blue in it, and it's, like, bright blue or some purple in it. And I think it's the coolest thing. I think it's, like, a really cool – like, I'd love to see my mom – my mom would never do it, but I'd love to see if my mom did it because I think it shows that you just don't care what other people think and you're having fun. And so my friend Sue, I wish I knew how she decides, but I've seen her with purple and blue, and it's just a really cool look. So good for her.
Yeah, Lynn, when you first started working for us, you had what color in your hair? I mean, you had red, right?
Mine has been red for...
I think since you've been working with us.
Yeah, it's been red since July of last year. So it's due for a change, but I bought a wig to see if... to try
really?
Out a certain color that I want to do.
I like your red, Lindsay, because it's... I would describe it as fun red. It's not like a boring red. It's not like you're trying to be a redhead. It's your red is I'm making a statement and it's fun.
Yeah, so, they call them fashion colors among the hairstyling industry.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I like the way that looks.
Funch.
Fast Track.
Last night, I was looking for something to watch. It was a sort of odd day, chippy, and I was a little irritable. And I watched a hilarious comedy special that Juan found. And it was Chelsea Peretti. And it's on Netflix. It made me laugh so much last night. Totally made my night. And I thought, you know, that's something I haven't watched a lot of while we've been in quarantine is comedy specials. So do you guys have a particular comedian who you would recommend watching one of their comedy specials for?
Have you guys ever heard of Anthony Jeselnik?
Yes,
I've heard of him, but
Joe
I've
Levin
never
podcast.
Watched one of his.
Like a completely different style of humor. It's like a combination of funny and shocking all at once. So if you've never seen him, I would check him out. He's really good. I actually got to see a really good stand-up comedian one night when I was out in Manhattan Beach. Was that Mace? Was that your iPhone?
No, that was Lindsay's, I think.
That was mine.
Oh. So one night I was out doing comedy and I got to see this guy named Kyle Irby. E-R-B-Y, who was really, really funny. I would check him out, too. But, yeah, I watch comedy. If I come across comedy specials, I'll stop all the time.
Lindsay, how about you?
I would say Joey Diaz or, I mean, Dave Chappelle just came out with, like, a new one, and I think it's kind of like a mashup of, because I haven't watched it yet. I think it's like a mashup of past ones. But
I've watched all of his because I think he's just a genius.
Yeah, he's definitely my favorite. I mean, anyone but Dane Cook. Sorry, but not a fan of his.
he's kind of not on the scene anymore, right?
No, he's trying though. He's trying to make a comeback.
John Mulaney's the guy that I love. Amy
Very
Schumer,
funny.
John Mulaney,
by the way, has knocked the ball out of the park when he's been given the chance to
host on SNL.
Host SNL.
Yeah he's been unbelievable.
Tom Segura's good too.
Who's that?
Tom Segura. Yeah, he's good.
Okay.
He is.
Those
like
are
him.
Some.
Funch, you got any comedians you like?
I mean, I haven't seen any new ones recently, but I mean, I always watch the Eddie Murphy Delirious, the Eddie Murphy Raws, the Chris Rock, the Killer Messenger. Also, there's a new guy. I'm not a new guy, but he used to be Chappelle's writer, Neil Brennan. He has a really good comedy special out on Netflix.
Okay, Neil Brennan. I will check that out. Thanks.
Yeah, but there's like when I come across that comedy stuff, like last year we had one of the ESPN golf tournaments, and the guy who won the chance to play with me and him played against Travis and another guy, was this guy named Jay Larson, who's a stand-up comedian. And so when I met Jay, I went back and watched his stuff, and it's just really, really funny. You'll come across stuff like this all the time. It's stand up, by the way, is hard.
Oh,
when I was working, in Beaumont, they had basically they would bring in one of the local TV people to, it was like a mini SNL. You'd host a Friday night comedy show but you'd work on it all week.
Right.
And man, I got a unique, place in my heart for those guys that get up there and do stand up every night. It's just a really tough way to make a living.
Yeah, it is rough. It is rough. Sue Kolinsky tells me stories. Ooh, Sue. Sue did stand up for years, my podcast partner. And, you know, she did stand up when we worked in New York. And I always joked, yeah, I'm gonna open for you. I'm going to middle for you. I never had the balls to do it.
Yeah.
Ever.
So Jeannie Buss tried it.
I know.
And I had a lot of admiration for her for trying to do that. But then afterwards, she told me how hard it was and how much respect she has for the people that do it.
We're going to break?
Yeah.
Coming up next, Funch has a question. Lindsay's got a question. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track. And Lindsay, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay. Well, Anyway, can we go to Funch first?
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Funch, it's to you.
Okay, I guess it's me. So me and a fiance were talking last night, and she was on her Zoom conference call she does every morning for work, and I guess they might have been goofing around when an interesting question came up. Now, we discussed that interesting question for maybe an hour last night. So in honor of National Adopt-a-Pet Shelter Day and the fact that we're all dog owners here, would you rather have the ability and understand 100 different languages or have the ability to speak and understand dogs?
Oh, that's good.
That's really good.
Okay, because both have tons of value. I'm going to answer it this way. I feel like I communicate pretty well with my dog. It'd be great if I could talk to all dogs. That would be a really cool, like, Dr. Doolittle trait to have. But 100 languages, Mace, 100, yeah. That'd be extremely fun at parties. I'm taking the languages.
Necesito hablar más español. I am doing my best to learn Spanish. I can't imagine learning 100 languages. So, yeah, my dogs and I communicate.
Yeah, we communicate, all right.
My dogs and I have conversations. So I will say 100 languages is what I choose.
Fudge, what did you say?
I think I want to speak to dogs. I think there's more value in, you know, learning and understanding dogs more than learning and understanding.
But don't you feel like you understand your dog now?
A little bit, but still, I mean, I can also talk to the other dogs, and people might want to come to me and be like, you know, here's a dog.
The dog
right
whisperer.
The dog whisperer, exactly. I'm the new Caesar Milan.
Lindsay,
what if your
100
dog doesn't
language-
like you?
Yeah, that'd be a huge disappointment.
Maybe, yeah. We never know.
Lindsay, 100 languages or the ability to talk to dogs?
Well, I have a schematics question. Would I be the only person that would be able to talk to dogs?
Let's just say for the sake of this, yes.
Then yes, I would definitely pick the dogs.
You would also be
yeah,
the
you
dog
could absolutely, yes. You know what, come to think of it, Mace, you could absolutely monetize that.
Oh, if yeah,
you
you'd be one of the richest people in the world.
If you were the only person who could talk to dogs, it'd be, I mean, people would pay top dollar to have you come talk to their dog.
And then
no,
I think
totally
the other
true.
Question would be like, is it like, because, you know, dogs are always barking and stuff, even if you're not talking to them. Whereas with people, you know, you have to have a conversation with them to, like, you know, to engage. But like with dogs, is it something where, like, I'd go to the dog park and all the dogs barking? It's just me, like, understanding and hearing what they're saying. You know, I guess that's kind of more of a thoughts thing, huh?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. It's a tough question. I
want to change my answer. I want to talk to dogs now.
Given that I'm trying to learn a language right now and I'm having the most difficult time in thinking in that language, I'm blown away that people are able to speak multiple languages. That's just crazy to me. All right, Funch.
Fast track.
All right guys. So I don't know if you've seen some of these pictures going around social media lately where airline travel for the first time in like 2 months has actually gone up. And people are getting back out there, getting on the airplanes and flying. And just a couple days ago, there's a picture and a video surfacing on social media where there was a fully packed flight from New York to Charlotte. And the only social distancing measure that was put in place was that it was a United flight. It was an American Airlines flight. And they had blocked out the middle seat in every row. But aside from that, it was pretty much a packed plane.
All right. Can I ask you a question about the picture?
Yes.
Were most people wearing masks or
that's
no?
That's my next thing. Most people weren't wearing masks, and it's not required. And I think that, you know, I guess there's a lot of flight attendants who are still working during the pandemic that are like trying to push for that to be a requirement for people on the planes, especially to be required to wear masks, which I think it's crazy that it's not a requirement already. So there's an airline called EasyJet United.
Sure. It's in Europe, right?
Yes. And so what they're doing is they're allowing passengers to have a free empty middle seat, just like, you know, most of the other airlines are doing to placate the health concerns and social distancing rules. But they're also allowing passengers to purchase an extra seat for $20 each. And then you could also have like the full, they're calling it a cocoon around you for $226 for all 8 seats. So you would have, you know, the every seat in your row, because if there's 6 or whatever
right.
It is, the closest 8 seats to you. But the only caveat with this is that the seats are cheap, but they don't come with any extra luggage or frequent flyer points or, you know, it's not for a person. It's just for the seat to be empty.
Mm-hmm.
So wanted to ask you guys, Is this something where, let's say, like 2-3 months from now, when people start traveling again, I know Mace, you'll be the first one to go on vacation. Would you pay $28 to like surround yourself with empty seats on a plane just to be safe?
$28 is pretty inexpensive.
Yeah, Lindsay, I might have done that before the pandemic.
I think I would too.
Yeah, you know what, John, you make a really good point. For $28 before the pandemic, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I would. And by the way, you know, I always am looking to upgrade and get into to the front cabin. If I could buy the two seats on either side of me for $28 and have my own row, I think that'd be more cost effective than buying a ticket in first class.
Wouldn't probably. You? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's a good deal. I you know, it's going to be a while before I go anywhere without a mask. I think I'm going to be very careful with my my mask for a while.
You know what's
now.
Interesting is, of the two of us, you are the more adventurous one. You enjoy travel more. You like you know, being out and being in these situations more than I do. But I had this discussion with Lisa last night. If Governor Newsom lifts quarantine on May 15th, on May 16th, I want to go to a restaurant, and Lisa said, nah, I'll pick up the food and bring it home. Like, what are you talking about? That's what we're doing now. But she wants to ease back in. I'd feel like I'd, if the flights are still cheap, I may get on a flight and go.
They're not. They're actually like higher than before, because ever since the airlines got the bailout money, they just hiked the prices back up.
Really? So there are no more deals, huh?
No, not really, at least as far as I could tell. And in fact, there's a lot, I think it's because a lot of flights are still canceled. Like, there's no direct flights from here to Cleveland,
like, could
or
you
back
buy,
until
I was just going to ask you, could you buy a ticket to go home to Ohio now that would be good for Christmas?
You could, but it's still, I looked actually, because I always buy my Christmas ticket way ahead of time. It's still around the same price. So it's like the further out you get, the more expensive it gets. Whereas it was $18 a couple weeks ago, and now it's like, if I wanted to go.
Yeah, LAX to Cleveland, I just pulled it up, $335.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
kinda,
and what did we have? We had LAX round trip to Miami for, what was it, $13 at the height of pandemic?
Yeah, yep. They had it round trip to Cleveland for $28 at one point. But
friggin' bailouts.
You know. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, John, it's funny about that. I haven't talked about it on the air, but I have a couple of people in my life who were hit incredibly hard by COVID, and I just don't want it. I just want no part of it at all. I will ease in.
Yeah, sir. Lisa's saying the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I'll
like,
ease in.
So you guys know that we were supposed, sorry, Lindsay, for cutting you off, but Lisa and I were supposed to go to Italy this year because it was her big birthday year. And she's found a way to spend all the money we would have spent on Italy on various projects around my house. It's actually a skill. It's unbelievable. I thought, oh, good, we save all the money from Italy. Not so much. We're fixing every old thing that ever existed in this place. Have you guys, have you guys done that yet? Have you cleaned out all your old stuff?
I'm doing some major remodeling in my apartment. I ripped all the carpet out and put in new flooring.
That's what Lisa's doing.
I'm painting my cabinets, and I'm going to see if they come out good. I'm going to keep them. If they're not, I'm replacing them.
We're kind of not doing anything. I'll be honest. We're kind of not doing a thing. Ordering donuts, that's about it.
Oh, geez, stop doing that.
Yeah, just, I know. Okay. It's terrible.
And you're taking tomorrow off, too. You're going to probably get two orders of donuts.
Orders of donuts tonight. Exactly. Exactly. All right, more Fast Track coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track in Ireland. It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace, as we often point out on this show, you used to own movie theaters, so you are uniquely qualified to comment on this story. Some Oregon movie theaters, required to close by order of the governor, are offering genuine movie theater popcorn sales to go. On Fridays from 5 to 7, the historic Columbia Theater in St. Helens is offering a bucket of popcorn with a lid for $5, or a mystery poster and a bucket deal for $20. Customers stay in their cars. Employees bring out the popcorn with real butter curbside. Those 2 hours have sold an average of 200 buckets of popcorn, the theater owner told KGW News. Is this a fad that will fade quickly, or do you think movie theater popcorn will continue to be a thing?
Well, you know, we've got an air pop popcorn thing, which is not nearly as good as movie theater popcorn, which uses coconut oil.
Why is movie theater popcorn better than what the stuff that most of us do at home?
It's in coconut oil. Coconut oil is the secret to movie theater popcorn. That's what gives popcorn the smell when you walk into the theater and you're like, oh, that popcorn smells so good.
So it's theoretically, could I use coconut oil at home?
Sure. If you were to actually make popcorn in a pan with oil, it would work.
Yeah, that's all I got is that microwave stuff.
Yeah, that's a complicated trick. The microwave stuff doesn't do the trick. We use air pop, and I use olive oil on it. Not the same thing at all. That's what makes movie theater popcorn smell so good. There was a few years back where there was a big health movement to start, hey, let's use canola oil because it'll be healthier for movie theater popcorn. And what they found was, because canola oil doesn't give off the same smell that coconut oil does, that popcorn sales plummeted. So they immediately went back to coconut oil. But that's the secret of movie theater popcorn, is coconut oil. And I understand why people would want to get some movie theater popcorn. It's pretty damn good.
Lindsay, would you, if it was for sale nearby your place in the marina, would you go make a specific trip to get movie theater popcorn?
No.
Either way, French, how about, oh, go ahead.
I would say, why can't you use coconut oil in your air pop?
Well,
your air pop doesn't require oil.
You don't use any oil.
No, you said you use canola oil in it.
No.
Hi, Sam.
Canola oil is what movie theaters switched to for a while. No, air pop popcorn is popped by air. It doesn't have any oil at all.
Funch, how about you? Would you make a specific trip to get movie theater popcorn?
I think I would, because it's so good. You can't replicate the stuff at home, and, you know, you're supporting a good cause.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, so
you're supporting a local business.
You're keeping the theater open. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Funch?
Fast Track.
All right. Comic Tom Green just appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he said something interesting about Joe.
Everybody is riveted by your show. And when you say something, it matters, which is different than when you do a show on your, you know, I do a podcast now, you know, I got a few people listening, but it's not like, it doesn't matter, right?
That's a responsibility.
So it's a responsibility of the people listening. But when you say something here, it will affect the entire society.
So I think Tom is absolutely right. I mean, the Joe Rogan podcast has become incredibly influential. And although he's not broadcasting in the traditional sense over airwaves, I think he's become one of the, if not the most influential broadcaster in America. John, on that short list, who are the most influential broadcasters in America? And I'm including podcast as part of this, even though that's technically not a broadcast.
Well, the best example of what you're talking about is Oprah. Oprah, when she used to do her Oprah's Book Club, would immediately put that book on the bestseller list. Immediately. And all she had to do, you remember when she used to do Oprah's Favorite Things at Christmas?
Sure.
All those things would sell out right away.
But do you think she's influential? I mean, I know she's influential now, but she's not, you don't consume Oprah on a daily basis like you used to. Like right now, year of our Lord, 2020, during this pandemic, who is the short list of most influential broadcasters?
So, like when they say something, it moves markets?
Correct.
Well, believe it or not, and you're not going to love this answer, there's a story that Kylie Jenner, when she, this was a few years ago, said she was on one of the social media apps. It wasn't MySpace, because that was too long ago, but it was something like Pinterest or Instagram or, what was the one before Instagram that was the photo one that was pretty popular? I can't remember. Anyway, she tweeted, does anyone use this? Like, does anyone use Pinterest anymore? I tried to put something up on it this morning, and it just doesn't work. I'm out. The stock dropped 4 points.
Pinterest.
Was it Pinterest that she said it about?
No, I'm just making fun of the way that you say Pinterest instead of Pinterest.
Is that what it is? Pinterest?
Yeah. Pinterest.
That just shows you how much I go. But that, I mean, she moves markets, or she comes up with a new type of makeup And
but let me try one more time.
But she's not a broadcaster.
Broadcaster, not just somebody who moves markets, but who's on the short list of broadcasters?
Well, if in sports, if Bill Simmons says something, it shows up and goes across social media. Rogan's probably the best example. Rogan has the number two podcast in America. I mean, so whenever he does stuff, that's how many people hear it, millions. I think Bill Simmons does that on the sports side. I'm trying to think if there is a political podcast that does that anymore. You know, you could say Howard Stern, I think, fits the description you're
looking for. Howard Stern absolutely is on my list. Yeah, Joe Rogan is on my list. Rush Limbaugh is on my list. Rachel Maddow is on my list. Sean Hannity's on my list.
Would Ellen be there?
I don't think so.
I feel like it depends, because if she has like if someone goes on her show and says something, like if it's a guest interview situation, like that could make headlines because so many people see Ellen. But I feel like Ellen herself, I don't think that many people seem to care, unfortunately.
Yeah, and there aren't that many people that fit your description, because we're such a polarized country now.
But it is amazing that Joe Rogan is definitely one of those people. He's right there near the top.
When I say he's the number two podcast in America, that's any podcast.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
That's not guy talk. That's not sports. That's not entertainment. That's if you type in right now, top 100 podcasts in America, Joe Rogan's in the top five.
He's always one or two, pretty much.
Yeah, he's absolutely cornered the market.
My list of most influential broadcasters in America right now are Joe Rogan, Howard Stern, David Muir from ABC, who's got the number one show on television right now, counting all of cable and all of network, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, and Bill Simmons.
You hear something weird? I worked in TV news for more than 25 years. I was a TV news junkie, still in a lot of ways, still am. I have not watched a network newscast. So, in other words, I have not watched David Muir, Lester Holt, or is it Norah O'Donnell who's doing it now?
Norah O'Donnell, yeah.
I have not watched any of those in over a year. Not 1 minute of a network news broadcast. I've just worked. I get my news other ways.
Don't you find it amazing that that's beating everything?
I'm curious.
All network.
Funch, when's the last time you watched a network newscast?
I've been watching more recently than not because of Corona, but I mean, before then, it was probably, you know, months and years, maybe.
Lindsay, last time you watched either David Muir, Lester Holt, or Norah O'Donnell do the news?
I don't think I ever have, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, particularly young people, don't. Mace, when you and I were growing up, it was Dan Rather, Peter Jennings, or Tom Brokaw.
And Tom Brokaw, yeah, by the way. These are my dogs having fun right now.
Yeah. Everybody watched one of them.
Yeah.
And I was at Peter Jennings' house. But when I worked at an NBC affiliate, everybody went, you know, watch Brokaw. When I got to KCBS, it was Dan Rather. But now I think people find other ways to get their news.
Yeah. I mean, although the middle of the country and older folks still, I mean, they're not listening to Joe Rogan. They don't know how to use podcasts.
Right, right. Yeah, I wonder if we called my mom and asked her, could you – If I needed you to listen to a podcast, do you know how to find it?
How to find a podcast?
I think her answer would be no.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I think that's right. All right, Funch.
Fast Track.
All right, Wake Forest announced over the weekend that it had fired Danny Manning as their head basketball coach. They replaced him today. Manning went 11-20 for the third time in four seasons, so it wasn't a big surprise. But here's my question. Why do you think that great players almost always make lousy head coaches? Bill Russell, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, Chris Mullin, Clyde Drexler, Patrick Ewing all struggle as coaches. Even Jerry West, who might be the greatest GM ever, struggled as a coach. Greg Popovich, Nick Saban, Bill Belichick were all less than average players, and they're all great. Why do great players make not-so-great coaches?
I think great players generally were born with great skills, and so they never had to study the game as hard as those middle-of-the-road players. I also think that they were so great that they easily get frustrated with people who aren't as good as them or don't have as good a work ethic as they do. I mean, it's famous, you know, in baseball. Superstars rarely make good managers. I mean, a lot of times it's catchers and backup catchers who had to sit and watch the game a lot.
Right.
Same is true of role players in the NBA tend to go on and become – I mean, there are exceptions. You know, Jason Kidd was a pretty good head coach.
Right, but in all of his head coaching stints ended in firings. He's gonna, if the Lakers run the table and win it this year, or even if they don't play any more games, Jason Kidd will get a head coaching offer next year.
Are there any
a lot of people think Jason Kidd might be going to the Sixers?
Are there any superstar players in the NBA right now who are head coaches?
Superstar players? No, there were players that won titles. Like Steve Kerr, would you consider him a superstar? He won five rings.
I would consider him a role player.
Yeah, he won five rings. So what you're talking about, though, is like Hall of Fame players.
Right.
I, off the top of my head, I can't, you know, Kidd was more recently a head coach.
I don't think that guy is there. I just pulled up the list. I don't think that guy is there.
That is a, you know, for years, Jerry Sloan was a good coach. Larry Bird was okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, like Bill Russell, Magic, Isaiah, those guys all stunk. It's a good question. And I think something you said earlier is the key to all this. They don't have any respect for people who don't want to work as hard as they did.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when Kareem was an assistant for the Clippers, I was working for the Clippers back then, and I saw him working with Olowokandi. And I said to him one time, hey, Kareem, early in the year, you were working a lot with Olowokandi, and I've noticed lately that you haven't been working with him as much. Did he do something to make you mad? And Kareem just looked at me and he goes, these guys aren't interested in what I have to say. And, you know, if you're a coach like Greg Popovich or, you know, Bill Belichick, you're just not putting up with that. But if you're an elite all-time great, you probably just say, screw you. You don't want to listen to me. That's your problem.
Yeah, I'm looking at the current baseball managers. I mean, Ron Renicki, Ron Gardenhire. Dusty Baker is a great player.
Yeah, not a Hall of Fame player, though.
Not a Hall of Fame.
The exception to the rule in baseball would have been Joe Torre. He had a really good managerial career. But for the most part, you're right. Most great
Don
baseball
Mattingly, close
manager.
To Hall of Fame level. But, yeah,
but
nobody.
No, but you know what? Don Mattingly, like Cal Ripken was on with us today, and he thinks Don should be in the Hall of Fame as a player, but he's not close to a Hall. He's a 500 manager all time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
I think guys that had to sit around and watch the game a lot as opposed to playing it sometimes turned out to be better head coaches and managers.
Yeah, all Kevin right. Reese just sent me a text that said, Bill Russell won two titles as a player coach. Kevin, the key word in your text is player.
Yeah.
If Bill Russell wasn't playing, he wasn't winning titles. You know, that's a hard thing to do if you were a great player.
All right, let's play a game.
Okay.
Want to?
Sure.
Okay. Funch, you can play. Lindsay, you can play. John, you can play, of course. These are questions. I had written this for Earth Day, so I never
earlier
got
in
to
the week.
It.
Yeah.
Earlier in the week, yeah, Earth Day. Maybe even last week. The days all blend together. So this is an Earth Day game. Question number one. What is the largest mammal on Earth? Is it A, an elephant, B, a blue whale, or C, I can't say C, it's a mean joke.
Okay.
So just imagine a very fat person whose name I wrote down on this list.
What?
I wrote down a very fat person.
I know who it is.
Oh, my gosh. I guess I don't get it.
Okay. So it's either an elephant or a blue whale.
I'll go blue whale.
Blue whale. Lindsay.
I'm guessing blue whale.
Blue whale, yes.
Blue whale
is the correct answer. It is not the really fat person that was the third choice on the list. Okay. What kind of animal is a puffer? Is it a bird, a fish, or me? A bird, a fish, or me, which is a puffer? Lindsay.
I think it's both a bird and a fish, but for the purpose of this, I'm going to say a bird.
A bird. Funch.
A bird.
A bird. John.
No, it's a fish. Pufferfish.
It's a fish. Yeah. Pufferfish. Exactly. Pufferfish. I also do puff. All right. According to geologists, the Earth is approximately how old? Is it 500,000 years old or is it 3.5 billion years old? Funch.
3.5 billion.
3.5 billion. John.
What are the choices other than $3.5
billion? $500,000 or $3.5
billion? $3.5.
Lindsay?
$3.5 billion.
Yeah, definitely $3.5 billion, yes. John's got a 3-2 advantage.
Can I interject really quick and say that I was thinking of a puffin as I looked it up.
A puffin, yeah.
A puffin is the bird, so
it
that's
is.
My fault. Just wanted
okay,
to clarify.
Okay, no worries. What is the most diverse group of mammals? Is it dogs, cats, or Khloe Kardashian's ex-boyfriends? Ireland, it starts with you.
In the spirit of this game, I will say Khloe's ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say, too. Man, you were on one when you were writing this game, huh?
I was definitely on one, yes.
I'll say cats.
No, that's not one of the choices. Dogs, bats, or Khloe Kardashian's ex-boyfriend.
I guess bats.
Bats is your guess, and Funch?
Dogs.
Dogs, no. The correct answer is bats. Lindsay's on the board. Khloe Kardashian, all of her boyfriends have been mammals.
Yeah.
So that is not the correct
answer.
Not
very diverse.
No. What animal migrates the farthest? Is it the Arctic tern, gray whales, or Canadian tourists? What animal migrates the farthest? Lindsay.
Wait, what was the first one?
The Arctic tern, gray whales, or Canadian tourists.
What kind of animal is the Arctic tern?
I believe that...
I think he screwed up. I think he wrote this when he was stoned and completely screwed
it up. I think so, too, because you really only give it as two options.
Right.
And these are not hard questions. I'm going to go with the Arctic tern.
The Arctic tern, yes.
It's quite entertaining, Funch. Regardless.
Give me the choices again.
Arctic tern, gray whales, or Canadian tourists?
Gray whales.
Gray whales.
I'm with Funches. Gray whales.
No, it's the Arctic tern. It is a bird, and it flies. It flies all the way from the North Pole to the South Pole every year. It is the farthest migrating. All right. Some cultures consider rhino horn an aphrodisiac. Is it really an aphrodisiac? A, no. B, yes. C, only to another rhino. Is it an aphrodisiac? Funch.
Only to another rhino.
Only to another rhino. John.
No.
No. And Lindsay.
I'm going to guess yes.
The correct answer is no.
Ah!
It is actually the same chemical makeup as fingernails and hair, neither which makes anybody aphrodisiac. All right.
This just keeps getting better and better.
An osprey is a threatened bird of prey species that eats only one thing. What is the one thing? Is it dead animal carrion, fish, or In-N-Out Burger? An osprey is a threatened bird of prey species that eats only one thing, dead animal carrion, C-A-R-R-I-O-N, fish, or In-N-Out Burger. It's to John.
Dead animal carrion.
Dead animal carrion. Lindsay.
I happen to know this answer because there's an osprey nest in the entrance to the Allegheny State Park where we go camping every year, and it's always hey, we're here, and I've seen the ospreys carry fish in their mouth.
Fish in their mouth, and Funch.
Fish.
Fish is the correct answer, yes. Although I'm sure they also enjoy In-N-Out Burger. And the last one. Lindsay has 5, John has 4, Funch has 3. It's a stoner game.
This one's worth 2.5.
Clearly,
this is a great game. I love it.
Okay. What is the only North American marsupial? The only North American marsupial. Is it the raccoon, the opossum, or dudes in cargo pants? And Lindsay, you have to go first.
Possum.
Possum. Funch. Or Ireland, you go second.
What was the first one?
Raccoons, opossums, or dudes in cargo pants.
Raccoon.
Raccoon. And Funch.
I'm offended. I own a pair of cargo pants. Possum.
Possum is the correct answer. Yes, only marsupial in the United States.
Yeah,
Lindsay
wins. Aren't marsupials.
What's that?
Said raccoons aren't marsupials.
Yeah, raccoons are rodents. Yes. Yeah.
I knew it wasn't dudes in cargo pants, and my only way to win was to not pick opossums. So
clearly, I was stoned when I wrote that multiple choice question.
Is it just regular possums?
Opossums? Is there a difference between opossums and regular possums?
I thought Mason said opossum.
Possum is just short for opossum.
Okay, but did you, Mason, what did you say? Possum or opossum?
I said opossum, which is the same thing as a possum.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just the O is silent.
The clock is all screwed up. We can just stop. I can go to a game, or we could break. What do you want to do?
Why don't we invite Sliwa in to play the game?
Can we
do
idea.
That?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why
okay,
not?
Let's do that.
Yeah, we can
Why
do
not?
It Sliwa. We can do whatever we want.
Yeah. All right, good. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the evening, as you heard Chris Morales say. Chris Morales?
Why not?
Sliwa at sunset.
Sliwa, what do you do? It's International Jazz Day, by the way.
I don't think
we played any jazz. Didn't we get any Miles Davis? Did we get any John Coltrane? Get any jazz? Branford Marsalis?
I like
Louis Armstrong?
The Miles Davis. Oof.
Miles Davis, yeah. All right.
Okay,
I got
one request just to start this thing off. I mentioned this yesterday.
What is it?
Please go see that Waco on Netflix. Please.
Is it really good?
Mace, it is extremely, extremely good. You know how they rank some of these like the top 10 right now on Amazon or something? And I think it's one of them on there. John, I know you said you hadn't heard of it. And Mace,
I had
said,
not. Still haven't.
Mace, you said some.
Still haven't.
Mace, you said some of your friends said it's really good. So I watched the rest of it yesterday or last night. I mean, it's really, really good. Sometimes I know I could overpromote something. I don't care. It's fantastic.
So this is about the Branch episodes. Davidians in Waco, Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it stars Julia Garner, who won the Emmy for Ozark, who's really, really good. I'll give it a roll. Is it depressing?
It's a roller coaster, and there's definitely some depressing moments.
And
yes.
I'm going to feel happy at the end of it, or I'm going to feel like shell-shocked?
Probably curling up in a ball and going and sitting in the closet for a little bit.
See, is that the kind of thing I'm looking for?
Yeah. See, Alan, this is where you're going completely in the wrong direction. This is on Netflix?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Okay. Have either one of you sampled Too Hot to Handle yet, where they put just a ridiculously good-looking group of people all in one house and then penalize them if they hook up?
I heard you guys talking about it. I haven't seen it. No.
That's the show you're looking for. It's high-quality entertainment.
Oh, Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights plays David Koresh, huh?
I think sometimes, you know, when you have no idea what you're about to watch, you have no idea of, like, kind of where it's going to take you, so it just surprises you the entire time. And the cast that's on there and the ups and downs of, like, the storylines – I know John, Too Hot to Handle is a little bit different than what I'm referencing.
It is different.
Here.
The storylines are totally different.
I
don't know how John Ireland can consume so much junk.
Because I don't sleep.
I know, but it's just junk. Like, you could watch really good stuff.
Yeah, I don't have time for good
stuff.
You know
what we watched last weekend? We watched The Big Sleep. Do you ever see the movie The Big Sleep?
I think I have.
It's a mystery movie. Philip Marlowe, and it stars Humphrey Bogart and Lauren Bacall.
I think I have seen The Big Sleep, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to broaden the horizons a little bit. I'm not watching junky Let Me Sleep With You or You Get Off My Island or whatever the hell rules you got.
All right, let me suggest this, Mace, since you're not into Too Hot to Handle. Last night on the Beverly Hills Housewives, Denise started crying? No, Teddy started crying at her own dinner party because the guests were making fun of her. She's a little pregnant and, you know, not her usual, her doesn't have her usual body. And they were making fun of her and she left the party crying. And then Denise's husband came back and said he's being followed by aliens because of his lifestyle and that he knows how to cure cancer. So that's what you should watch.
So here's what I heard. Making fun of pregnant women and mentally ill people thinking that aliens are following them.
Yeah,
and you find Waco depressing.
Yeah, that's one way to interpret it, sure.
All right. So, Ireland, do you want to play your game?
Yeah,
your fast-track game?
Yeah, why not?
Is it a buzz-in game or is it a multiple choice?
It is a true or false game. Well, no, it's multiple choice. Okay, so let me explain it.
Okay.
The name of this game is the Max in Sherman Oaks game. Remember yesterday, Max in Sherman Oaks called the show to point out that I am often wrong about certain things I say on the air. So I invented this for him. It's kind of like the Uber Facts game, except none of these are Uber Facts. I have a list of four things. In honor of Max, three of these things are blatantly false. Only one is true.
Okay.
Now, your jobs is you, Sleetha, you can play, Mace, Funch, Lindsay, all four of you can play. Your job is the opposite of what it normally is. You have to find the one true fact. Okay? And this is in honor of Max, who says I never say anything true. All right. So here we go. Fact number one. Even though USC has had five running backs win the Heisman Trophy, Mike Garrett, O.J. Simpson, Charles White, Marcus Allen, and Reggie Bush, the all-time leading rusher in Trojans history is Anthony Davis, who never won the Heisman. AD did finish second to Archie Griffin in 1974. That's fact number one. Fact number two. During the 1943 football season, the Steelers and the Eagles lost some players to the war. So they combined teams to form the Steagles. They wore green and white tops and gold pants. They even had a winning record. 5-4-1. All right, fact number three. When Wilt Chamberlain won the NBA MVP in 1962, he had what is arguably the best individual season of all time. Wilt averaged 50.4 points and 25.7 rebounds per game. Both of those marks are still NBA records for one season. That's fact number three. Fact number four. The year Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, he was intentionally walked a then record 37 times. In the final week of that season, when he was trying to catch Babe Ruth, teams intentionally walked Maris 8 times in the final 6 games. So I'll give them to you once again. Anthony Davis is the all-time leading rusher at USC. The Steelers and Eagles once combined teams to form the Steagles. Wilt, when he averaged 50 points and 26 rebounds per game in his MVP season of 62, and Roger Maris was walked intentionally 37 times the year he hit 61 home runs. Which one of those facts is true?
Jeez.
Okay.
Which one is true?
Well, Lindsay, are you still there? Did we lose her?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Where do you think I'm going to go?
I don't know.
I don't know. I thought you had dinner plans.
Yeah, you didn't respond. I thought you might have had
like
a hot
John.
Date.
I don't bail out on these on the show.
I thought you had
plans.
Yeah, I thought you did. Lindsay, which one of those facts is true?
I'm going to go with the Roger Maris. Homer, 61 homer season.
Okay, they walked him intentionally 37 times. Okay.
Yes.
Funch, which one of those facts is true?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt. That no one has ever averaged either 50.4 points or 26 rebounds a game. Sliwa, which one of those facts is true?
I think I'm going with Funch's on this one. I'm going to go with Wilt.
Okay. that in his MVP season of 62, the 50 points, the 26 rebounds have never been equaled in a single season. Mace, which one of those facts is true?
I may know the answer. I'm going to say the Steagles.
Okay. First of all, you are all smart to stay away from the USC fact. Do you guys know who the all-time leading rusher at USC is? Anybody know?
No.
It's one of the five Heisman guys. It's Charles
Marcus?
White.
Marcus? Oh, Charles
No, it's Charles White Charles by, White. Like, by over 1,000 yards. It's Charles White in a runaway. Lindsay, I'm sorry. The Roger Maris fact is fake. As a matter of fact, here's a pretty amazing thing. The year Roger Maris hit 61 home runs, he was never intentionally
Oh,
walking.
Wow.
Not one time. You guys know why?
Because
It wasn't a rule back then?
No.
Mickey Mantle hit behind him.
Yeah,
and
Mickey
nobody
Mantle.
Wanted to walk Maris to get to Mantle.
To face Mantle. Yeah.
So he never got intentionally walked, which means either Funchess and Sliwa have correctly identified the real fact, or Mason is the only one who figured out the Max and Sherman Oaks game.
I think Mason got it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner is Steve Mason.
Yes!
In fact, did you know, Mace, that there was once a Steagles?
I did. I did know that there was once a Steagles during the war, yeah. Yeah,
okay, so
I
in
did.
1943, the Steelers and Eagles lost so many players to World War II that Art Rooney, the owner of the Steelers, came up with the idea that he said, let's just blend the two teams. They played six games in Philly and two games in Pittsburgh. They combined uniforms. They were actually the Pennsylvania, like the Pennsylvania merge team, but the media immediately started calling them the Steagles. And they did wear green and white tops and gold pants, and they did have a winning record of 5-4-1. There you go. Steve Mason, the only one able, say, and that's fitting, the only one I do able to identify the actual one fact in honor of Max that I got right.
Yep. Way to go.
Hey, John,
Max really came down hard on Ireland yesterday.
Well, that, look what it did. It got him his own game named after.
He found a nit and he picked it.
John, was that Wilt's numbers? What was 50 and 26? I know the 50, but the 26
yeah,
or
the
no?
reason that fact, there's two things about that fact that was wrong, Alan. He did, believe it or not, he did not win the MVP in 1962. Bill Russell did. And Wilt later, the 50.4 points is a record, but Wilt later in an individual season, actually it was a year earlier, actually averaged 27 rebounds per game. So he wasn't the MVP, and that wasn't his best rebounding year, which is why that one was false.
Wow.
27 rebounds in a game.
It killed an entire segment, and for that we are grateful.
We are grateful. By the way, if you think about that, Major League Baseball and the NFL played in 1943 during World War II, when everybody had basically
not even the war wiped out sports, and this coronavirus pandemic has.
Yep, it's amazing. Sliwa, I understand that you've got Bill Plotchke on the show tonight. Negative Bill, disaster Plotchke. I don't want to give anything away. What do you have any idea what he's going to say?
Well, he's got this article. He's got this article right now on LA
Any
Times.
Positivity in the article by Bill at all? Any hope for fans to see sports?
Some ray of light.
Not really.
No.
Not really.
So why are you bringing negative Nelly on the show?
You know what? Listen, anytime you're looking at the Lakers season.
Wait a minute. No, I know why. Because he's a person and he has a phone. That's why you're bringing him on.
Yes, come on. Plaschke's fantastic. I love Plaschke.
Any person with a phone is welcome.
Sliwa, you love the guy that's saying sports are dead in 2020? That's your position, that there will not be any sports of any kind in 2020?
No, I think the perspective other side. Listen, the perspective on the other side. You always want to hear it. You know, I'm curious to hear
why do you want to hear
he
that
feels the way he does.
No, yeah, why? Like, why?
By the way,
first of all, you like Waco more than Too Hot to Handle, and now you like the naysayer
you're not,
instead
you're,
of the. The guys like Mason and I were selling positivity.
You're pro Waco.
You're not going to like the Jabari Young with CNBC when he comes on as well tonight.
No, you're not having him on.
I am having him on.
What kind of dark cloud night is this?
Hey, and you're just trying to have Hackety Hack Hack on. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I called Jabari Young Hackety Hack Hack today.
Do you have anybody with any positivity coming on this show?
And then we got some big game coming on. That's a lot of positivity from James Worthy.
Okay, but here's the problem with Worthy. Mm-hmm. Okay, I need a moment of honesty with you.
Sure.
Did you already tape it, or is he coming on?
We recorded earlier.
Okay, because I was going to say, I was supposed to play golf with him on Sunday, and he forgot to show up. But he's playing this Sunday, so I got that going for me.
Does any of your show happen live, Alan, or is it, as we like to say in the business, all in the can?
Are you like Rick Dees? Are you leaving at 6:45 and that's it?
This actually, what I'm saying right now, is recorded. This isn't even live right now.
That's astounding. You knew what we were going to say.
Yeah.
Everything that way. Listen, you got some of these evening shows. I hate to ask somebody and some of these guys. I hate to try and bring them on at 8:30 on live. So I try and make it convenient.
What are you talking about? The Kamenetskis are doing live shows every night at 10 o'clock.
You hate to have them come on that late. It's they refuse to come on that late. It's in other words, you either record it or they say no.
I give them options. Let's say that, Mace.
Yeah, options.
I lay out options for them.
What time is the Mount Rushmore segment?
Yeah, what's the Mount Rushmore tonight?
I don't have room tonight.
I've got a Mount Rushmore.
Can you do it when we come back?
Yeah, we'll do it when we come back. I got a Mount Rushmore for you. It stems from a fast track question, Sliwa. Okay. It's coming up next. Mason and Ireland, of course, Alan Sliwa's here. Sliwa. At sunset, with pre-recorded negative guests. Gotta stay tuned. Stay tuned for that. Anything can happen that was already recorded earlier here on 710 ESPN. And he does it every night. That's the incredible thing.
You've painted such a beautiful photo of my life.
But, I mean, it really is your life. I mean, let's be honest. This is really what you've got. You've got this show, and the rest of the day is completely unstructured.
You got your stolen laundry. You know, you got that going for you.
You got your laundry stolen.
Still looking for who's wearing my gear.
Still looking for that. Okay, so here we go. I know you love to do Mount Rushmores. If you know the Sliwa show, you know he loves to do Mount Rushmore of blank. Mount Rushmore of blank. So, and I love when you do this, Alan. I never get tired of Mount Rushmores.
Wait, do you remember the last one I did or no?
Mount Rushmore of Laker power forwards. Laker power forwards.
Yep,
that was a good one. It was a good one.
That one actually was a two-episode show.
Part one. You chose two of them, and then the next show you chose
the other two.
Yeah, that was spirited. All right, so tonight, Mount Rushmore of current most influential broadcasters or podcasters in America. Mount Rushmore of most influential broadcasters / podcasters in America. Sliwa, what do you think? This is actually a legitimate one.
Okay, there's one that comes to my head right off the bat from a podcast perspective. Joe Rogan's got to be one of them.
Joe Rogan's absolutely one of them. Mm-hmm. Does everybody agree on that, by the way?
Well,
Ireland?
I don't know if I'd put Joe in there. I would put, in terms of having influence of like moving the night, like moving product, I think it would still be Oprah. I think it would still be Howard Stern. I think it would.
Howard Stern belongs on Mount Rushmore, no question.
Mm-hmm. You know what though? I would put Rogan ahead of both Hannity and Limbaugh because I think Rogan appeals to more of a broader base. But then I'd have to put either Hannity or Limbaugh in there for the fourth one.
I feel like I didn't even know that Oprah even still had a show.
Yeah, see, that's the same with me.
Most people don't.
I do a meditation thing with Oprah and Deepak do together. I do it most mornings.
So I know Oprah from that, but I don't know where I would even watch Oprah as a broadcaster right now. She doesn't have a show. I know she's got a channel, but I don't know if she's on that
channel. Yeah, I know. She has a magazine. She has a channel. She has a network.
I don't think she has the magazine anymore.
She has an own network. But yeah, that's true. Maybe I don't know what vehicle she's using to get the word out. So maybe.
I think the Rogan part too, he has such probably, you know, that really tough age to get, that 18, maybe even, you know, younger than 18-year-olds that are tuning in, plus his age. Like, I tune in, I'm 37 years old, but I feel like there's a lot of younger individuals and older individuals that are listening to Rogan, and he kind of came out of nowhere, you know?
I personally listen to more Ringer podcasts, more Bill Simmons podcasts than I do Joe Rogan. But I know I'm in the minority there. I know most people are the opposite.
Yeah, Rogan, I think, is where I've gotten so much of my coronavirus information. He said really good. That's like where I originally heard Dr. Michael Osterholm, who, like, scared the living hell out of me. Mm-hmm. And since then, he's had a bunch of those different doctors on. I mean, I get a lot of information from Rogan. So I think he's there. Lindsay, what about you?
I that's like the main podcast that I listen to every time. Like, I get alerts on my phone when he comes out with a new episode. And I think that, I mean, I've heard that he makes, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars per episode. And he has a good, like, 7 to 8 minutes worth of ads at the beginning of the show.
He sure does.
And, like, I would be hard pressed to say that, like, if those companies are not doing extremely well, because like, he endorses stuff, and it makes me think, like, oh, because he's one of those guys where, like, he's very genuine, and you could tell that he's, like, somewhat, not, like, picky, but you could tell that he's one of those guys where he won't endorse some random bad product just to endorse it, because he probably gets everything in the sun thrown at him.
Oh, sure.
So I feel like he's one of those guys where, like, he's probably pretty genuine with that stuff.
Yeah, mine is Rogan, Stern, who I think is just has gotten better and better throughout his career. And then you've got to throw the right a bone and say Hannity, who's incredibly influential. And you've got to throw the left a bone and say Maddow, who's incredibly influential.
Except doesn't Hannity do like 6 times the ratings that Maddow does?
No, it depends. It depends on the night. It goes back and forth. Those two are on at the same time. It's very close. The guy who's on at the same time who gets no ratings is Cuomo. But no, Hannity and Maddow go back and forth a lot.
Okay, so did you see that Chris Cuomo's wife admitted this week that she takes Clorox baths?
No.
Isn't that
weird?
I didn't
see that.
Yeah, she doesn't apologize for it. She says, hey, it just works for me. That's what I do.
Cool.
Is she doing it for coronavirus?
I think so. She had it.
Yeah, she did have it.
That sounds extremely dangerous.
Well, I don't think it's like straight Clorox.
She defends bleach bath, other home remedies she used to fight COVID-19.
Yeah, So I just found that odd that, you know, why would you tell anybody?
You're taking a Clorox bath.
Yeah, it just seems weird.
It's a very weird thing. Very weird thing.
Mace, you know what was on an hour ago?
No.
Dr. Fauci and Gupta. Fauci and Gupta.
Together?
They were, you know how you've been trying to push this, and this is an idea that you've had for 2 months. I saw a little bit of that earlier today.
Buddy cop show, Fauci and Gupta. Look out. Here they come. Your disease-fighting team. No, that's impressive. That's a lot of medical brain power there together at once. I'm going to have to go find that right away, right after my Clorox bath. All right.
Slee, would you have any live segments tonight at all?
Of course I do, John. Of course I do.
When will that be?
The entire time other than James Worthy, Plaschke, and Jabari.
Okay. So we kind of, you know, I like Slee at Sunset, but I also like the name Slee in the can. All of his interviews are completely in the can.
Slee in the can. That is a good visual. Thank you for that.
I am off tomorrow.
During the coronavirus. You
got a very big
else.
Day planned. Very big day planned.
Mace, you should be a guest tomorrow. Call in anytime. Come on.
We'll record it tonight.
right
we'll
after
record
a
it during one of your pre-recorded segments,
right,
and you can run
cut
it tomorrow night. So tomorrow, who's filling in?
Yeah, Lindsay, what do we decide?
Well, Ramona said, I probably can. Give me an hour or so to arrange.
What else does she have going?
What else do you have going? You're blowing off your own show.
I've been doing this for 6.5 weeks. I just need a mental health day. I've run out of things to say.
Yeah, but every other host on the station is working.
I need a day,
Dave,
man.
You know, I think that I would not be surprised if you see that a couple day or so hero, and that, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like what you guys are doing right now is incredibly difficult, to be sports talk show hosts and have no live sports going on and come up with all the stuff that you guys come up with every day. And yep. I commend you, and I think you guys are doing an excellent job.
Thank you,
and
Lindsay.
I actually kind of like told Mace, I was like, you know, I know yesterday things got a little chippy and what you guys are doing is hard, and maybe you just need to, like, you know, take a mental health day, take a day to just kind of relax a little bit.
Yeah, Lindsay suggested this, and I am taking, she's the producer, so I have to do it. She's our producer.
Very exciting.
I wanted to mention before I go, if you are a Better Call Saul fan, just posted the interview with Ray Sehorn, who plays Kim Wexler. It's fantastic. Actually on there right now, there are interviews with Michael Mando, who plays Nacho Varga, with Tony Dalton, who plays Lalo Salamanca, and with Ray Sehorn, who plays Kim Wexler. All really, really good stuff. If you're a fan of the show, really good listen. All right. John, I wish you well tomorrow with whoever happens to be here.
Good to know you're deeply concerned about it.
I am deeply concerned.
I think we're going with Ramona as long as her alarm goes off.
Okay. Sliwa is next. Much of it is pre-recorded. It's probably already on podcast.
Mace, we'll call you at 7 tomorrow.
On podcast.
I'll call
talk
you at 7 tomorrow.
Talk to tomorrow at 7. We'll record something. Coming up next is Sliwa. Back tomorrow, 2:55, except for me, 7:10 ESPN.